Okay, well, welcome to social media in the church. I guess this class has had numerous morphings in a title, and we're not 100% sure what all we're going to talk about. Michael and I have been talking about the challenge of preparing for this class because we're really not sure what if we need to talk about how to basically set up basic social media, or if we need to talk about things that are like social media strategies for your church. And so we're just going to both talk just a little bit, give you a little bit of information, and then hopefully we're going to spend the bulk of this time talking in an interaction in a social setting. So we're going to practice social media in face-to-face. So real quick, just so we have an idea, who here is, are mostly you guys pastors or ministry leaders? Yeah? So you are... you have a personal ministry. It's not just your personal social media stuff that you're talking about setting up. Okay. Mm-hmm. And raise your hand if you're currently on Facebook.
My church isn't.
Or your church isn't. Okay. Twitter. Big drop right there. Instagram. Okay. So we're mostly Facebook predominant is where we'll probably, if your church has a website or your ministry has a website, raise your hand. Okay. Okay. So, you know, everybody's at least in the water a little bit at some level. So basically my experience, and I'm guessing the only one I'm bringing to this is, my husband and I pastor a church in, right outside of Austin. And so we have been experimenting and trying to keep going in this. It's no longer, I don't feel like really being electronic is an option for churches anymore. You know, used to it was like, well, you know, we might do that or we might not do that. But now we live in a small town. I mean, I don't know if many of you have been to our town, but it's like 7,000 people. I mean, it's probably the smallest. I don't know if anybody even lives in a smaller town than we do. Oh, you do? Okay. Oh, well, never mind. Yeah. Well, you think, I guess my point is thinking that if you know, well, we're just a little town, but we have people that come to our church maybe not every Sunday, but at least multiple times a month. And almost one of the first things they say when we talk to them is like, well, we went on your website and we checked out your church and we decided to come. So we are kidding ourselves, whether it's farmers or rodeo clowns or whoever you have as your primary congregation, everybody is checking you out on the web. So that is no longer just an optional thing to do. It is mandatory in order to put, you know, your church in the 21st century for sure. And with that in mind, I want to say probably if I would say one thing and quit talking after that would be you have to update. However much you're updating now, it's not enough. Mm-hmm. If somebody comes to your website or your Facebook page or anything and you haven't had any activity in a couple of days, they think, these people aren't doing anything. I mean, you used to, you could get by with it, but not anymore. I mean, somebody who I would have, a ministry friend who I would have thought absolutely knew better. And his calendar on his ministry website was still his 2011 calendar. And I mean, it's like, this might as well be a ghost town. You know, you don't even pay one. You feel like this is not a relevant source at all. So whether you do it yourself, whether you have to hire somebody to do it, whether you have to bribe a child or your grandchildren or somebody, put somebody, you got to do whatever you got to do to make that happen regularly. And what you feel like is adequate, it's probably not. You know, you can't even really, if you're not really considered in the stream of Facebook, if you're posting once every week or two. I mean, you know, used to when Facebook first went there, it was, you could do it infrequently and you would still connect. But they kind of changed when they went to, I think, Timeline. They changed the way, it's more like Google now in that they weight your posts. You know, I don't know, like on Google, you're trying to get your, so that when somebody Googles your church or Googles whatever, you get higher and higher up in the results. Well, now Facebook is kind of like that. They stream what people, and they base it on frequency. They base it on photos. They love photos. So I put pictures up as much, you know. I used to think, why is it these random people keep showing up in my newsfeed all the time? But it's the people who are posting pictures. And it took me a while to make the connection because I thought, I never connect with these people. I don't even know why. But they're predominantly in my newsfeed. But they pictures are a lot. So let me, y'all be patient with me. I'm not really a presenter. And so I'm kind of rambly. So give me a minute to kind of get my wits here. So anyway, one thing I wanted to say also, I'm guessing if you're in here, you're not in the anti-social media camp. I mean, I don't know about y'all, but I encounter people all the time that say things like, well, I don't have time for Facebook, or I don't have time for any of that. And my opinion is, if you're in ministry, you are looking for a platform. I mean, not in an egotistical sort of self-promoting way, but you are, that's the drive of what you do. And why would you pass up literally, it could be free, but even if you resource all the options on Facebook, it's inexpensive. A global, a relevant source of connecting to people. If you have anything that's worth saying, you're wasting an opportunity if you embrace the mentality of saying, well, I have time for that. It doesn't take a lot of time. It just takes some discipline. And so if you're on the fence, or if you're thinking, well, I don't know if it's really worth it, or I don't know if it matters, I would encourage you to be brave and just get on there and get after it. So, okay, let me see a couple things I wanted to talk about real quick, and then I won't. We talked about the things that you need to post daily, if possible. Maybe I wouldn't do more than a couple of times a day, especially Twitter. You can get by with Twitter. Is a fast-paced conversation, but there's not a lot of people in here on Twitter. So, you know, that's like, it's kind of like instant messaging. I mean, you're like, boom, 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 people fly. Facebook, not so much, but you need to be posting something at least every day, whether it's just, it's a great day and I'm thankful to be saved. Or, you know, people will say things like, oh, that isn't, I was talking to somebody the other day and they said, I was talking about doing this class and I said something about, are you on Twitter? And they said, is that place where people just post what they had to eat? But, you know, there's always this kind of mentality that wants to minimize it. But you would be surprised how much the people in your circle of influence get a kick out of knowing what's going on with you. You know, you don't have to be stupid about it. You don't have to be, you know, but they feel like you're a real person, your church congregation, your ministry, people that you have influence with. Don't be lame, but don't under everything you say does not have to be like chiseled in stone from the finger of God. I mean, it can just be random stuff and people will enjoy knowing about you, knowing, you know, what's going on in your world, knowing that you're a real person just like them. They'll want to interact with you about stuff. So don't feel like, well, is that minimizing my ministry, or is that making me look kind of shallow? You know, be a real person and connect with people. That will actually it will increase the value of who you are and what you do. So let me look through here. You know, on what you post matters. What you post matters. It doesn't have to be, like I said, doesn't have to be epic, and it doesn't have to be always spiritual, but think about it for 5 seconds. Give yourself, I mean, you know, I'm going to try to know how to say this without saying, I'm not saying be fake or calculated, but think about how you're going to word what you're going to say. I mean, you can say, it's raining outside, or you can say, you know, something that spins it in a way that catches people's attention. Ask for interaction, you know, things like saying, is it just me, or does anyone else feel like it's been a month of Sundays since it's rained, you know, or anything, or can you say amen? It also, it gives you an opportunity to connect with people. You see kind of who is, one time my husband, you know, he, this has been a while ago, but you know, stuff that you just, we had gotten a puppy and we have three daughters. And so, with me and our three daughters, we have a lot of bottles in the shower. You know, there's shampoo and conditioner and yada, 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 all this stuff, you know, and he's just like, let me just get in and out of here as fast as possible. And, you know, and he is not afraid of pink, I guess, because he'll just use whatever's there. He didn't care if it, you know, smells like flowers, whatever, he'll just grab it. Well, we had gotten this dog and I had given her a bath in the shower. And I had put, and her shampoo was, it's, you know, dog products now are very upscale and trendy looking. And it was this creamy, nice color. And I don't know, he's maybe, so like several days it had been in the shower. And all of a sudden I hear, Angie! And I was like, he's like, are you serious? You have left, I've been using this dog shampoo for a week. And so I was like, well, you know, he was thinking, I can't believe the stuff that happens to me, because he's like the only male in our house. We have female animals, you know, all girls. So he was like, oh, I can't. So he put it on his Facebook. And literally, while you would think that is very unspiritual and, you know, he didn't prophesy to anybody, he didn't speak in tongues, didn't do anything. Probably the most epic Facebook post ever he had. I mean, as far as people were just people that we didn't even know. And that's something else you'll see when you're kind of being like a real person and telling about your life. People that you had no idea that were really paying any attention to your Facebook will be like, oh my gosh. Or, you know, only you, Pastor Jerry, would do something like that. You know, stuff like that. So use that. I mean, obviously you don't fabricate events, but you know, when you see things that you find comical or you find life, you know, you can't make this stuff up. share that with your friends. I mean, share that with your congregation. This last Sunday, he gets emboldened to, he thinks he's in a protective bubble when he's in the pulpit and he can just say whatever and I'm not going to get him for it. So he started telling this story about, you know, his sermon, and then he goes, well, do y'all want me to tell you something that Angie's been doing that's really not a good idea? And of course, there was like, yeah. And I was like, seriously, you people are traitors. But anyway, so he rolls out this story and, you know, he posts something about it after church and people, but our congregation, so use that as an opportunity. You know, they're like, oh, Pastor Jerry, I thought, I'm shaking my head the whole time going, back away, man, don't go there, don't go there. You know, but they want to be able to give you some feedback. They want to be able to engage with you. So don't waste opportunities, you know, and sometimes you think, well, I'd have to, you know, stop what I'm doing and put that on there. But stop what you're doing and put that on there, because it's, I mean, we'll for weeks, last year when we came to this conference, my husband forgot my clothes. He didn't bring them and he left them hanging up and he brought his golf clubs, but he did not bring my clothes. And so we get here and he's like, he put something on Facebook about, oh, pray for me, I forgot Angie's clothes at home. And I mean, for months, people are saying, you know, every time they see us, they're like, did you remember her clothes? You know, and so it gives them sort of like an opportunity to engage with you, to feel like, you know. So I would say more is more. Sometimes less is more, but in this venue, use it. It's free. Use it and take advantage of it. So, but say it in a way, make sure you're saying it in a way that is, you know, creative and that people can we live in a society for sure where everything is scripted. Every speech you hear, many sermons that you hear, especially from, you know, high end, they are scripted down to the last word. And so you give it a couple minutes. You know, think about what you're going to say so that you can say it in a way that is engaging to people, that gets their attention. Maximize that opportunity. I don't know about you guys. Most of, like I said, I guess it's pretty much most everybody's on Facebook. Do you pursue your congregation? Do you ask them, you know, to... Do you have a... Raise your hand again if you have a church Facebook page as opposed to a personal one. Okay. Well, if you have a church or if you have a ministry, I would really recommend that you get one of those in addition to a personal one. It's a different venue, but people don't have to ask to be your friend on there. They can just like it. They feel a little... So even people outside of your congregation will connect with you there. And every time you get the opportunity, whether it's in your church bulletin, you know, you need to have a spot on there that says, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook. Constantly be putting that out there. Because especially as you get new people in your church, your people who have never been to your church yet will go to your website. But once they come to your church, they'll go to your social media sites. And I see that a lot on our, especially our church Facebook. Once somebody started coming, a time or two, you know, they'll go to, and then they like to see what's going on there. So one thing that we do, or we have done, don't go to our Facebook page. What I'm telling you today is what you should be doing. That does not necessarily mean what I'm always doing. But since pictures are such a, we take a lot of pictures. We just have a photographer that, you know, comes on. We do it mostly on Wednesday nights because that's when we have our kids' classes and stuff like that, and it's a little bit more laid back on Wednesday nights, and just takes candid shots of, you know, people, you know, kind of like almost what you think of as selfies or whatever, you know, just people's faces together, kids playing, whatever. We put them on our Facebook page and tag our families. Mm-hmm. It gives them, it creates a link between us and them, and it drives a lot of traffic to your church's Facebook page. So you can get your, now almost everybody has a phone that records video. You know, ask your teachers, do a little 30-second recording on of your class, of your kids praying, of them singing, of doing something. Post those things. Parents love to see what their kids are doing. They love to see what they're doing, you know, anything like that. Those are easy opportunities, and you don't want to miss those. I, you know, some of, we were talking about using personal stuff and as opposed to ministry stuff. Try to come up with a, doesn't have to be a legalistic formula, but, you know, balance that out. If you find, well, all I'm doing is posting scriptures, which is a wonderful thing, but make sure that you're mixing that you have posts that appeal to the global, anybody could read that and find, and, you know, and be ministered to by it, or you know, feel like it says something to them. Then another percentage, you know, maybe 60 or 70% of your posts could apply to anybody. They're just like general good life advice. Then maybe 20% you do that are more locally driven. And then a small amount, just, you know, be real, real transparent and authentic and just personal life stuff. So, you know, don't get all stuff that if I don't live in your town, I don't have any idea what you're talking about. If I didn't come to your church today, I don't have any idea what this is about. But, you know, kind of mix that up to where you can connect with people on multiple levels. And then, I don't know, we do this regularly where we kind of survey our church, get updates on their information, make sure we have all that. But we used to, you know, it used to be, what's your address? What's your home phone? We don't even hardly ask for people's home phones anymore because hardly anybody has one. But one thing that we ask and regularly survey is, you know, cell phone, do you text? Facebook, Twitter, you know, Instagram, those things. And how is the best way to get in touch with you? How do you like to be communicated with? And you know, Jerry and I were talking, and of course, probably everybody knows he's a golfer. And so every analogy he has some sort of golf hook to it. But he said, you know, you could play 18 holes of golf with your driver, but why would you? When you have tools that help meet the needs of every, you know, you're in the sand. Yeah, hey, I have a sand wedge. Hey, I'm here. I have this. So don't be stuck in a mindset of saying, well, this is, you know, this is, there are people, us too. If you called our house, you would probably never, ever get us. We don't have an answering machine anymore, and we're not hardly there. And so, you know, calling people at their house, sending mail even isn't always a very effective way. So find out how your congregation communicates and respond accordingly. Don't get on too many social media sites. You know, there's something, you get an invitation to something all the time. Somebody's waiting on you to join them on LinkedIn. Somebody's waiting on you to this, that. You can get spread too thin to where you have too many things to track. Keep it to a couple that the majority of the people in your church and who your circle of influences are. And do those well. Less is do them well, and you'll see good results. And like I said, frequency, that is probably, you know, until we answer some questions, that's probably the one takeaway I would say is increase your frequency, because that's, not only is it going to give people like a consistent feel for you and, you know, they'll start to join a relationship with you, but it does impact how your stuff shows up in the Facebook feed. And if you're just very random and infrequent, you know, your audience is much smaller than it needs to, you know, than it could be. So I have a bunch of stuff I could cover, but I'm not really sure also what all Michael has. And I know we want to answer questions too, so we won't just go over all of this. Let's see if there's anything else I really, really want to say. Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and let Michael talk for a few minutes, and then we want to answer questions. So there's no sense going over information people don't need to know. But if you do have some things that we can talk about, you know, make yourself a note or whatever, and then when he's done, we'll answer some questions.
For those of you who don't know, I am Michael Keith, and anyone who wasn't watching, she does have a lot of information there because she was scrolling for days down her iPad. She just kept going and going and going.
I'm trying to be very prepared.
Yeah. I first want to recap a couple of things that that she talked about, which is totally not what I was going to talk about. But probably the first thing that I would like to share about social media is we've never in society, we've never had an opportunity to connect with people like we have right now. With, if we're pastors, whether it be our church or whether we're missionaries, and it's our audience of people we want to know about our mission, our vision, or what we're trying to accomplish, we've never had the availability to get into people's homes and in a place that they're at every day of the week. I mean, I wrote down a couple of stats. Facebook daily active users has reached 665 million. That was the first quarter earnings report for 2013. So really, by tapping that resource, we're able to connect with people where they already are. We're not having to create a venue for them, drive them somewhere else. And I'd like to add something a little bit to what she said. It may differ a little bit, because my thought on how your website and how your social media work together is a little bit different in that it's hard to keep everything updated all the time, you know, if you've tried to do that, you know. I think what I would do is personally, I would get my website to a place that, and this is something I was going to talk about as far as your branding and your identity and things like that go, to where it has a professional image, an image that represents you as a church, it represents your vision, your image, your what I like to call your brand statement. That's very commercialized sounding, but regardless of what we think that our church isn't a brand, it is, and it, because your brand says something about who you are, and whether you're trying to say something about who you are or not, you are. So whatever your communications you're trying to make them, or if you're working hard to try to not make them a certain way, it's still representing you. So that being said, I think, you know, your Facebook, if the biggest thing is not putting content regions that need to be changed, if that makes sense. You know, if you have a calendar on there and you're not going to update it every week or every month, don't put it on there. You know, so it's I saw a post the other day on my Twitter account that said, it was in relation to advertising, but they said, if you're going to post, either post pictures of, if you're a restaurant, post pictures of good food or don't post pictures of food at all. So that being said, on your website, if you're going to put things on there that need to be changed and you're not going to change them, don't put them on there at all. That's the way the way I take that. And use that as a tool to drive people to your social media. I mean, people are going to check out your church or ministry or whatever you have online through your website, through Facebook, through Twitter. A lot of times they're going to visit there before they ever come to your church. So what are your communications on those platforms saying about your church? What are they saying about what they're going to experience? What are they saying about what they're going to encounter when they get there? And because mine's a little on the branding side of things, my kind of tagline for what I was going to talk about was, did their experience match their expectation? When they came to your church, what they saw from your website, what they saw from your social media accounts, did the people that are there and the experience that they had reflect what your image was, what your brand said to them? You know, a good example I wrote down, you know, loving God, loving people. If that was your tagline for your church and that was your brand statement, that you care for people. We love people. We genuinely care for you. We take care of you. Those types of things. And someone comes to your church and with that expectation, and no one really even talks to them, you know, because this happens a lot, you know, where we've kind of got our groups of people we're talking to, and but their expectation didn't, or their experience didn't meet their expectation. And so you need those two to match. And so what I, going back to where I was with the social media, I think you can use your social media as your constant things that you're interacting with, that you're interacting with people. And one thing you want to focus on with social media is use it as more of a to facilitate a conversation more so than you're using it as a as a broadcast tool. You don't want to just constantly be broadcasting your message. You're wanting to engage people, like she was talking about. You want to get that that conversation going, whether it be through questions or just something that's going to, because people want their opinions to be heard. They want their voices to be heard. And that's what social media is a perfect example of. You know, when everybody gets an opportunity through a few of the brand pages that we manage, that's the one thing that we see is people want to hear, people want their opinions heard. So they're looking for those opportunities. So ask questions, give them a chance to let their voice be heard. And it also is giving us, as I think, as pastors, as ministers, it's giving us an opportunity to see what people are up against every day. Because people are using Facebook and Twitter and all forms of social media to express all of their heartaches and all of their stresses, and it's given us the perfect opportunity to see where people are at, what they're struggling with. And so it's nice to tailor your teachings, to tailor what you're doing to reach those needs, the needs of your people. And so consider that, you know, when you're on social media. And she talked about, you know, differentiating between your personal account and your church page. And the differences are between those are, you know, your personal page is where you create friends and you have friends and you establish friendships. And your brand page, you set them up differently, is a, people become fans of your page. They like your page. It gives you the opportunity to promote your posts. You can pay so much money and promote your posts that will go beyond your level of fans. And what she was talking about with posting with frequency, really the largest reason, or the biggest reason for that is Facebook uses a system, an algorithm called EdgeRank. And what they do is they take the frequency in which your posts are commented on, liked, shared, those types of things. Your posts take a higher priority over other people's posts. That's why you see a timeline that's not filled with every single post from everything you like and every friend you have. It doesn't have everything they've done on there, because it's taking that of which has higher importance according to their edge rank system. Nobody knows the algorithm or the science behind how they do it. There's just some people who've taken bits and pieces and figured out that that's what they're using. And it always evolves. It's always changing how they do it. And that's the unfortunate part of a free resource is they can, the terms of service you agree to are changing all the time. So, and you're constantly agreeing to use them. So, then what was the other part you talked about that I was, there's something else I was just thinking of. Anyway.
What, that has to do with the algorithm?
No, it had to do with, anyway, whatever. But you know, as a personal account, it's giving you, we're living in a day and age of where people are looking for authenticity, like you talked about, and there's a term being thrown around a lot right now called radical transparency. I don't know if you've heard it or seen it very much, but where people are looking for you know, companies are taking this approach and organizations are taking this approach where the people are seeing the inner workings and the inside of, it's no longer I'm this big brand, I'm this big business, and everything's hidden behind there. And it's because of social media. It's because social media is able to see into your life as a pastor. And does your life, what does your life reflect on your social media accounts as your individual pages? And then, you know, and keeping that personal side of things out of your church page. Because you don't want, you need to think about it from two different perspectives, I feel like, for your brand pages, for your church pages are, you need to look at it as our church people are connected to this and seeing this. Potential people who may come to our church are seeing this. What do our communications look like? What do they sound like? Are they done with excellence? Is our grammar poor? Are we misspelling every other word? I mean, those things are important. Regardless of what we want to think, those are important. It may deter somebody, like, you know, this place doesn't have the professional image that I'm looking for, that I'm searching for. That's what I was going to share. Was developing it with the frequency that you post, developing a strategy with that. There are a lot of strategies being thrown around of how you have to do it, and you can start with some of those. You know, three times a day at, and they usually base it on how many likes you have, how many times you should post. But three times a day, morning, noon, evening. But what you have to do is really figure out when your people are engaging you the most. Is it happening after 5? Is it happening before noon? And start scheduling your posts for them. And when I say scheduling, there are resources out there that allow you to take, there's some social media management tools that allow you to schedule posts. I don't recommend scheduling fake things. They're just kind of, that seem boxed, you know, they are going to be thought out, but, you know, kind of pre-made, but that can help you keep up with that, where you're not having to log in every day at a certain time to post this. Every day at a certain time, if you decide, I'm going to post a scripture at this time, you can schedule that out. I've got a whole, it's really broad because I'm a resource junkie, but it's got a bunch of different resources on it. Those social media management tools are on here. Of what you can schedule us with. Some of them are free. Some of them you can pay for. You can actually, one of them I put on there, you can pay for an advanced service that allows you to even watch the engagement of your post. See how many people liked or saw it, how many people it reached, what they did with it. You can, so many analytics, I guess, involved with those tools. Then those tools have mobile apps with them. You can keep up with that stuff as you go. One of them has a unified inbox, allows you to bring your social media, like your Twitter feed, your Facebook feed, all your social media feeds into one inbox. So you can see all of them, how people are responding, and how you can engage them directly from there, from their web app, or their, I may be I maybe I don't know if I'm you can ask me questions later if I'm like if this sounds wild, but those are on here, and you can you can go to those mm-hmm. websites and they kind of walk you through it. You know, they have videos to instruct you how to best use it. And the other part of really what I wanted to share, and kind of getting off of that, is part of my what I wanted to talk about was your brand, and that in your brand, a lot of people just consider that your logo, what your logo looks like. Because I'm actually a designer and come from a little bit of a print area, so that's where my perspective on this is coming from, and because that's something that represents you. It's going to represent you on your social media. You're going to have those. Your brand is going to represent it there. And your brand is wrapped up with so many other things. It's wrapped up with all your communications. And I feel like as a church, we all have the same mission as the church, correct? But we have each church has its own uniqueness. Each church is different. And one thing that I encourage you to do to establish a brand identity, which would be your logo and your the thing that's going to represent you. Because when you see a logo, you have a thought, you have an expectation of what you're, regardless of whether you wanted someone to have an expectation based on what you put out there, they're going to. You can't control that. And that's the first thing they see about you. What are they taking away from that? What are they seeing in that? And so to establish that, I recommend coming up with a statement about your church. Get some people that are members of your church, that have been there for a long time. Get some adjectives that they feel like best describe your church. Put all those together and figure out what it is that's unique about your church and who you're appealing to. And then we all think it's really expensive to go out and get a professional logo done. But if you look at the amount of time you're going to use a logo, if it's done well and you should use it for a long time, because that creates consistency, and you in logos and branding and all that stuff, you want that consistency. You want someone to, when they see that, good grief, there's so many brands that you could recognize just by seeing their emblem. Mm-hmm. And you want to start seeing that in your community. You want to start seeing that in your church, that all of your marketing collateral, all of your bulletins, your business cards, everything you do, have that same consistency. Your website, because people start to recognize that and they associate that with you. And really, something I really liked, and I was thinking of it more on my way here this morning, and is brand also has another definition, and it means to make a permanent impression when you're branding something. When you're branding cattle, I don't do that definitely, but when you're doing that, you're making a permanent impression on that, and I feel like your brand is doing the same thing. So you have to kind of ask yourself, what is that impression that it's leaving on people? When they see what we've put together that represents us, and then when they come and they experience us, do those things match up, and what's the lasting impression that they have from them?
Can I say something real quick? Yep. And it doesn't necessarily come from we're going to get a commercial artist and they're going to make us up. I mean, you have a logo, I guess. But for us, we had these little window stickers made a few years ago just to put on our, people's cars. Just they say FWC. Well, inadvertently, accidentally, that has become our brand, because that is the logo. I mean, that's what everybody sees on cars mm-hmm. in our town. And so, you might find something that's recognizable about your church that's not that is not necessarily a logo, so to speak.
Right. Well, when I say logo and figuring out what your church represents, I don't mean trying to incorporate all that your church represents in a logo where you have the manger scene in your logo. I don't recommend that. If you're trying to identify your church with that, because all that's, even if it's just the letters, like I've got some stuff I'll show you in a minute, just if it's just the letters B and C, in a certain way, certain colors, because colors create that. When you think about, everyone knows what color, everybody may have a variation of it, but Twitter, what color is Twitter?
Blue.
well, it's cyan, but yes, blue. I knew everyone would say blue. And Facebook, you can, everybody knows what color. Okay. So you, when you see that, you recognize it. You know who it's from. You know what it's about. You know where it came from. These sheets that I'm going to hand out kind of show this. I don't know. You'll have to kind of see them. Well, somebody. I don't think I made enough for everybody. I'm sorry. You all can. Okay, before you make a judgment about those, look them over, and I'll explain something in a minute.
If you need to get something.
Michael, will you have an opportunity to give us the websites or the resources?
These are. Yep. Yeah. Plus about 5 million more that I didn't include, but that's hopefully the Q&A when I'm finished, we'll cover those things too. I may have some of those resources of something specific that someone's looking for that I can share. And a lot of this is a broad range of resources. There's resources for data analytics for your church. If you're tracking attendance, you're tracking tithe, you're tracking whatever you're doing. There's free, Church Metrics is a free analytics program that allows you to track data within your church, any type of data you want to track. So there's a pretty broad spectrum of things there. And if you'll notice, there are actually two different sheets. You only received one, but you might want to find somebody who's got the one that doesn't look like yours. I want you to look at the right side of the page. Your right, not mine. Look closely at the branding down that side of the page. Now find someone, if you don't mind, that has a different page, because there's a different set of pages in here. And I want you to see the difference. They're the same brand, but you look at a brand that takes on consistency throughout. If somebody will give me two of them, I'll give them back.
That's
I promise
better.
You.
Yeah.
Who's got one of them?
Okay, just to kind of give you an idea, I mocked these up. These aren't real. This isn't a real church and not a real brand. I just made these over the last couple of days. But you'll see the difference. These are the same organizations. This is one using a brand consistency, following a theme, and you can see that. You can see it throughout all the marketing materials, whether it's a website, there's a business card on there, there's a flyer, a t-shirt. I just made something funny on it. One of the t-shirts, if you can't see that. But this is just kind of giving you an idea, visual, to see what...
easy to recognize.
Michael, can you pass that around?
Yep.
The correct ones. Yeah.
But what not to do, we have. We want what
yeah.
to do.
But these two, if you look at one thing, even if you're just looking at the top two logos of those pages, they're saying two different things about the same organization. Your expectation is going to be different based on what that looks like and based on what this looks like. Would you agree that you're going there with, you already have an impression in your head.
The one you might go to.
Right, the one you might want to go to, the one you might not want to try out. So that's something to consider, because that's what everybody does. Everybody makes kind of has an expectation of what they're going to encounter by those materials. So, and what I was going to say about the logo, when you are having something developed or something put together, consider that it's going to be used for years to come. So if it did cost you $100 to $200, what's that over the course of 36 months? Yeah. You know, you break that down, it's really worth the investment to get something that's consistent, that you can put on everything you've got. You can put on your business cards, your bulletins, your website, your Facebook page, everything you're doing. If you're buying billboards, if you're buying print ads, all those types of things, it keeps that consistency. People recognize you. Yeah, so I think that's... Yep. I think Q&A will be good at this point.
Is it extremely important to always keep your same color on the logo, branding?
Well, there's a new mode of thought out, I think, right now that's kind of a fluid branding that allows people to fluctuate that color. But I think you can't get to that level until you've established a consistent brand, you know, and an image that people recognize. You know, when you see, for instance, Google is really big on changing their look all the time, but they have this, I mean, their brand's a little bit larger than any of us in here at this point. So they can kind of fluctuate that. And so I think your colors, I think they can vary. And you know, when you have a logo developed, if you're paying a professional, you should get not different logos, but variations, where you're going to get a one that works kind of in a positive, negative, monotone type of a way, where you can use it. It's a solid black that you're going to use somewhere, or it's a solid white that you're going to use, if that makes sense. You know, it's your logo, but it's all white. It's not using your blue or whatever, because there's times you're going to use just a white logo. There's times
or
you're going
to
use
print black and white. And
yeah,
you need to be
there's
able
times
to
you're going to print just in black. You know that you're only going to have that option. So, I don't know. I think that can fluctuate a little bit, but I would start out with a consistency with the branding color, because you know color. There's a psychology behind color, obviously. You know, it means different things to people. It represents different things. My example that I always use is, would you buy brown and yellow toothpaste? No. You don't see brown and yellow toothpaste on the shelf because they understand what the colors represent. You know, and red and blue and white all reflect fresh, clean, green. You know, all those colors. Those are what I want in my mouth, not brown and yellow. So, for freshness. Okay, so I just kind of open up, I mean, across whatever. Yeah?
I have a question about Facebook.
Okay.
This probably reflects my ignorance, but when you have a church Facebook page, are people able to comment on your comments? And if their comment is inappropriate, what does that say about your church?
Well, here's the from. Do you have anything to from a social media management perspective? What they teach is negative comments. Negative people are looking at how you're going to respond. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you just delete comments and you just delete things that people are saying, that says something. Mm-hmm. That speaks volumes for people who saw that. And so they're looking for how you're going to respond to that, and that's when it takes some thought. You know. Think through what you're going to be putting, because people are going to be watching. Whether or not 10 more people respond on it or not, 100 more people may see it. So,
and there might be a difference between inappropriate and critical. You know, I mean, if somebody's right. cussing or being vulgar, yeah, okay. You're not going to be able to let that stay on there just because, you know, you may just say, hey, that's not the forum for this, you know. But if somebody's like, well, I don't understand why this happens, you know, go ahead and address
well,
that.
I think on things like that, you know, you may respond to that and show your response, and you may let a time pass and remove that particular. But I still think people are going to see those
yeah,
types
right.
of things, and they obviously know you didn't do it. And they're looking for, you know, did they respond in love mm-hmm. to someone who right. obviously needed Christ? So
yeah.
that's I think is huge.
Yes.
Well, my experience was I had lots of responses, and some were, I'm talking about cussing and discussing things that don't have to do with church particularly.
Okay.
And then they start posting all their pictures of them and their friends in the bar, and then my church page, it looks like it's not a church.
So they were just tagging you on them?
Was it is your church page set up where you have friends or where you have fans?
I don't know.
Okay, yeah. That's the difference, because the way you can interact is different. You know, when you have when your church page is set up like it's supposed to be, like a brand page is, for instance, you can't go to an individual person's page and post on their page.
What's the name of it?
Oh, we had it several years ago.
Okay, I was going to look
that up. Everything's changed.
Okay.
Now,
Yeah. I mean, you do, even on your church page, though, I would, because it's in settings, you know, you can make it to where it's like just a bulletin board and nobody can comment. You can let people comment. You can let people interact. Facebook has evolved into a way, for a long time I've said, I wish that you could just directly comment to that comment, and now you can. You can let, you know, you want people to be able to put pictures on your church's Facebook page, you know, tag your church. If they took pictures at an event, let, you know, ask them to upload it and tag the church. But, you know, you just make sure you monitor it. But, you know, the more interaction you can get and the more you steer people, I mean, you know, go ahead and it's okay to ask them. Ask them, please do this. Please tag the church. Please, you know, comment.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if this relates to what's going on here. My mom, she's fairly new to Facebook, and she kept wondering, she thought the news feed that she saw was actually on her Facebook. And so she saw people posting things that she's like, I don't want that on my Facebook. And I was trying to explain to her, that's not actually on your Facebook. You're seeing what they're posting.
Right.
So it has nothing to do with your Facebook or your Facebook page. You're just seeing what they're putting on their own personal stuff. And so sometimes if you don't really understand the social media, then you can get confused thinking that people are seeing that on yours and it's not. It's
your friends are seeing what some
it's
of your
very, That's are. Very similar to your Twitter feed, is that, you know, all your interactions on Twitter aren't being seen by everyone. There are certain times when you're communicating, you're mentioning, this is getting into terms, and that's one thing I didn't know where we would be with Twitter, is if people need to know about those particular terms. But when you're mentioning and responding back and forth with an individual, it's not going to show up on everyone's feed. It shows up from the way I've gathered it. It shows up on the feeds of people that you know both of, or if it's a public reply to them. If that makes sense. Go ahead.
I have a question. I was watching, I don't remember if it was CBN or what it was, but I was flipping one day, and I saw that at the end of their preaching, they allowed questions, and it was obviously showing up on his iPad. So my question is, do you know how that they did that? Did he have a Facebook page open to where the people could comment from the congregation, and he could see it immediately? Mm-hmm. Or what would he have used?
It could have been either one. You can get a live Twitter feed, or if you just open up your Facebook and people were.
There's probably some apps that are specifically for something like that, but an easy way to do it would be through social media. You know, would be allow people to ask questions that way, or they may have been. You can set up a text number where people can text in questions to a certain number, and it show up, and they could see all those questions that are coming in from everybody texting, because then you can send from. It doesn't matter if you have a smartphone or not. You can send from any device through a service like
that. But probably even on a basic application, if you have a decent signal at your church, you know, you have a Wi-Fi signal or 3G or whatever, you know, people have pretty good service. If you wanted to do something like that, you could say, okay, if you have a question, send me a post onto the church's Facebook wall right now during service. And you should be able to get a really immediate update and be able to pretty much in real time do it. Yeah?
Do either one of you know what you think about the YouVersion using their live events and so forth? We just discovered that. And Mike, I don't know if we communicated about that.
I can.
Can you tell me how to do that?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of this goes back to who your congregation is. You know, to me, if you have a real tech-savvy group of people that have iPhones, that have Android, that have iPads, those types of things. But the free Bible app, anyone have the free Bible app that is now, what is it, 100 million downloads, something like that? They have an additional service called YouVersion that allows you to post your sermon notes each Sunday and create a live event every Sunday for free. And everyone that comes, you can give them that all they have to do actually is go open their app, go to the menu, go to live event, click that, search live events near them, and your church will pop up. It'll show right. They click it right there, and they have the sermon notes for that.
And you can make it interactive too, right? Where you can like fill in. Is it on?
You can post to your own notes. You can take notes of the sermon on your own YouVersion, and you can go to your Bible reader. I don't know that you can communicate.
And you can access those from that point forward. They don't just disappear, unless I guess they're deleted.
I just opened mine up and it showed everyone in this zip code. I was going to show from ours and show this zip code. So there were several churches that popped up with their sermon notes from Sunday. Mm-hmm. So I typed in my zip code and there was my sermon notes from Sunday.
Yeah, or someone can sit.
People in the congregation, if you can read it actually before Sunday ever gets there,
right.
You can go over it. Got it online.
Or they can sit in your church and read some other church's sermon notes. However,
they're kind of boring, they'll flip over to Life Church.
you may not want to show them that.
Yeah.
You
know? No, stay focused.
Yes.
This isn't really a question, but something that we've started doing recently in our church is when we have different events, we create a hashtag within Instagram. And if pictures are taken at that event, we ask them to hashtag.
Right.
And that way, if someone wasn't there or, you know, they want to see whatever happened at that event, they can search that hashtag and see all the different pictures that were posted from that event.
Well, and that to add to that real quick is when you mentioned Instagram, one thing I would like to say is I feel like find the platforms that your people are on.
Right.
You know, all your people may not be using Twitter, so don't mess with it for your church. I mean, sorry.
But you can do the same thing in Facebook. Just ask them to tag you.
Right. And you actually can import your Instagram feed into your Facebook so that they that feed comes in there. You also can set up your Twitter if you really aren't sure about Twitter and how well it's going to do. You can set up your Facebook posts to cross-post to Twitter. So you post one place, and it posts
on the other. You have to be really concise if you do that on Facebook, because Twitter is much more restrictive than Facebook.
If you type more than 140-character messages as it is, it's probably a little lengthy for the majority of the time. You know, occasionally I think a longer post is okay, but you don't want to get too wordy.
I'm a little wordy.
Some of this stuff that y'all talked about is kind of like Greek to me. So when you start, and I see this, what you just talked about, hashtagging, okay? I know nothing about hashtags.
Right.
It's
so,
basically the pound symbol.
I know what a hashtag symbol is, but I don't know how you do it or what it is about. Can you explain?
What a hashtag is and it's now crossed platforms. It originated in Twitter, and now it's going across multiple social media platforms. But what it's doing is it's really almost creating a search
or a tag
query of that particular topic. If it's hashtag leadership and you click that hashtag leadership or search hashtag leadership, you're going to find everybody who's put hashtag leadership. So unless they're just being ridiculous, they posted something about leadership and put hashtag leadership after that. Mm-hmm. And so when someone goes in to search that, it's going to pull all of that. All of those images or posts, anything related to that.
So what program are you using? That's not, I see a lot on Facebook.
Right. It originated in Twitter, and Twitter still the largest.
Okay.
I've noticed that Facebook now, it's highlighted.
Yeah.
It used to just be people did it because they were just, they wanted to say something else, and it's kind of a trendy thing to do in Twitter, so you just do it, you know. It didn't do anything to your Facebook, but I think Facebook is now starting to make a link, because now when you hashtag and you put something on Facebook, it highlights it. So I don't know if it's 100% evolved, but it's moving that direction.
And that's the hard part about this is both of these, or all of these platforms, evolve all the time and implement new.
It's certainly not necessary, and it's don't let it be preventative for you getting in there if you feel like, well, I don't know how to hashtag this. It's not like it's going to keep your post from getting out there. So, you know,
for Twitter, it's a way to broaden your audience. Mm-hmm. When you go on Twitter and you post something insightful and you put hashtag leadership, hashtag church, hashtag whatever it is, anytime somebody starts searching those things, your voice has the opportunity to be heard. Now, you may be among a million other people, you know, posting the same thing, but you have that opportunity to get your message even further.
If you have a message and you want people to see it, then you just put hashtag leadership or whatever the message came out, and then they have an opportunity to go there and see what you said.
Well, anyone, you know, if I could be in Ohio, and I could search leadership on Twitter, and I could see your post that you made here about about leadership when I start searching those types of things. So that's more so what
I would think what would be more applicable and to most of us is kind of like what they're doing is that it's a specific hashtag that's maybe more applicable to your church, like Christmas Carnival 2013. Okay, so all the announcements that we do, all the funny stories we tell, all the pictures, we're going to hashtag those. So then if we tell our church, go to FWC Christmas Carnival 2013, you know, hashtag, everything's going to, they're going to go there, and that's all that's going to be there. It's probably stuff from our, that happened at that event. It's not going to be the global menage.
Yeah, but, go ahead.
How would you how would you get started from the standpoint of, you don't have any formal, what is the most basics that you get started, and then how do you incorporate that into the people that you're trying to communicate with? Because it's really a communication tool.
Right. Sure. I think so. Well, I think you're, as a church, as a ministry, as an individual, which one? As a church. I think first and foremost, because I find that, just from my experience, I don't know where do you live? Not here, not near here, or in Oklahoma?
Well, it's in Oklahoma.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it seems like Facebook is still a little bit bigger phenomenon, especially locally. From our experience, the majority of people interact there, and I would start there. I would start there and develop from there. And then the next thing you want to do is you want your people to start knowing it at your church. Start putting Facebook symbols. Start announcing it. Start telling people
absolutely.
To go
absolutely.
There.
Absolutely.
And you can actually list the Facebook emblem off of their website.
Yeah, you can start putting that on things. Find us on Facebook. Put it on your announcements, wherever. Buy a sticker for your front door. Put, you know, the Facebook symbol there. People know what that means. People know that means you're on Facebook. They can go find you there. And then beyond there, you know, people need to know how to search for you. Because sometimes that's kind of hard to find.
Yeah, because there's lots of multiples. You'd be surprised. Somebody came up to me today and they said, we were trying to find Pastor Jerry on .com, and you would believe how many Jerry Edmonds there are. And I was like, well, I wouldn't. But
The best way I've found to communicate that through marketing is taking, I usually take the Facebook symbol and I put whatever your, you know, if your church is Crossings Church More. And yep. That's
make
what I do
more.
Is I make that my Facebook page. And then when I put the Facebook symbol, I put Crossings Church More, so that I know when I go to the Facebook search bar and I type in exactly that, that's what pulls up. You know, you can go test it, you know, make sure whatever you're typing in is appearing
there?
That way, but I do that a lot because it really helps simplify that the search process for people who aren't as familiar with it. But I would start there, you know.
The probability is high unless you have a really young church that everybody, the primary audience is going to be Facebook. And you can, I don't know, does your church have like an email database?
No.
No, okay. Well, then just start asking. If you know people, look them up on Facebook and send them a like our page. You can, once you create it, you can share your page with people. It's just a click that'll post asking them to like your page. You know, there's lot, and you just got to start building it. And then sometimes we do this too that helps, like post announcements. Like we have announcement videos, post those on your church's Facebook page. So say, hey, if you missed anything this morning or you weren't there, go check out the announcement video on Facebook. That because you're just trying to drive people there to get them familiar with that as a resource for information.
Well, it sounds better than a website, I should say.
It's much more interactive. I mean, the whole intent is not to be so promotional with it as you are engaging people with it, creating a conversation that's ongoing all the time. Because the immediacy of it, I mean, people have to. That's the thing, is people have to actively decide to go to your website. People are already on Facebook.
Right. Yeah.
You know, if they like your page and you're already appearing in their news feed, you know, you don't have to go find them. You don't have to drive them anywhere. They're already right there where you're at. And then to add to that, it really, the opportunity you have and the importance, I guess I should say, of the interaction and why you want people to engage you, obviously to help them, but you also, that broadens your audience. You know, once someone starts commenting, you know, you have someone who likes your page and they've got 300 friends and they comment on your post. Now it shows up in their newsfeed and their friends see it. So they may have,
let me check them out.
They may have 200 people that aren't friends, don't like your page, that have the opportunity to see that. And so really, the more people will interact, the more people will share, the more people will comment, just gives you that opportunity to broaden your...
And this probably seems like a given, but put your Facebook app on your phone or your iPad. Don't, if you limit yourself to access, you'll find yourself less and less interacting in that way. Make it easy for yourself.
Well, and they have, if you do have a phone, there's a Pages Facebook app that's specifically for managing just your fan pages, not just your personal. There's a personal Facebook app and a Pages that you do different things with them.
Yeah,
I've
you
got
can.
Both. Yeah.
I mean, most people have both, but
they
want.
They used to allow you to do both through one, both things, but from some of the recent changes, you can't, and so you want to open your church pages through the Pages side, and do it that way.
And if anybody literally doesn't even have a Facebook yet, and you want some help just getting that set up, Michael or I, either one, it's literally, I could do it in 5 minutes.
Well, and I'd add to that, you have to have a personal Facebook page to create a church page. So, like, you can't just use your email or something like that. You've got to create, if you've fought getting a Facebook account, I did it for a long time. Even as young as I am, I fought getting a Facebook page for a long time. And finally, in having to manage a few pages now, I've had to bite the bullet and get one. So
I was going to ask y'all a question. Is anybody, I mean, you guys interacted, but anybody else doing anything or anything in your church that's working well that you want to share with anyone else? Any way that you use social media currently that is, yeah?
We're not doing it. We're getting ready to go into TV ministry.
Uh-huh.
If anyone here has done that, I would like to hear any suggestions, you know, personally.
You're going on to a television station?
Yes.
I don't know. I don't know a lot. I know a lot of people do stuff. They post to like Vimeo or
as far
Facebook.
As sharing your video, or as far as building your audience.
Just information. We're just kind of digging. We're starting going there. We've got our cameras and everything.
Okay.
To know if somebody's experienced that, I would love for them to share with me personally, probably.
Okay. Yeah, I don't.
Well, from the video perspective, actually, one of the resources on there is for. For online churches, it's to create video, share, you know, kind of create your own online church. I haven't gone through the process because I don't do any of that stuff. But
this wouldn't actually be online. We have our videos online
now. Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Whatever you do in a finite time on a television station, make sure you do online. That's on demand or archived.
So you wanted to kind of start sharing those videos through social media. Is that the idea?
We have our sermons on social media now. We're going on the local TV station, which is a different thing. Of course,
okay.
What kind of cameras you really need, what kind of setup do you need, things like that.
Right. And so you're kind of looking for more hard, like, equipment.
You need to find Jimmy Milligan. He's your source for that. Jimmy Milligan. If you'll let me take you to him after this, he's got he does that, and he has a lot more information on that.
If you're from the Oklahoma City area, too, I know that...
We're from St. Louis area.
Where?
St. Louis.
St. Louis. St. Louis.
Okay, well, that won't help you.
Yeah. Anybody else got anything you're doing or that you find? Yeah.
I'm a youth pastor, so social media.
Yeah, that's huge.
If you don't have it, you might as well.
Right. Right.
So we do Twitter, we do Vine, we do Instagram, we do all of it.
Okay.
But one of the things, too, I think that people kind of get confused is being in a group on Facebook versus having a fan page versus having a personal page. I did set up a group along with our regular pages. Like, I have my personal page, and I have my youth group page, and we have the church page. And then
right, we do.
I have a group page, and that's where I send my, more like my bulletins and board.
Right. We have our married couples page. We have youth group pages. Those are groups underneath our umbrella. But you definitely want to make sure you
now
have
we're getting really
a fan page. Stay there. No, that's okay. But when you're going on to set it up, make sure to start with you don't set up a group. You set up a fan page because
right.
that is your broadest. So if you get it, it's actually good that you brought that up, even because you might get on there and say, oh, I don't know which one of these I'm supposed to be doing. Start with the fan page. Are they still called a fan page?
Yeah, and one of the largest reasons is that because of the terms of service, when you agree to use Facebook, you agree to abide by that. Like, technically, you're not supposed to set up an organization, a business, anything, as a personal page. They do have the ability and will take you down.
Shut it down, yeah.
Not everybody. I mean, usually they don't, but it can happen. So you don't want to have built this huge audience and have 1,000 friends for your church and then them shut your page down. Now you've got to rebuild a brand page where you have where you create the fans rather than the friends. I know that sounds probably really confusing.
Well, I just want to encourage you to, I know we're probably getting close on time, and even if you don't see, well, you know, because this is what sometimes, well, I posted some stuff and hardly anybody liked it. Well, that doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean people aren't seeing it. That doesn't mean, you know, some people are just, you know, hopefully people are evolving more in that way and they're branching out in your, but be confident in what you have to say. And if you don't, like I said, I was telling you guys about the dog shampoo story, people that we would have never known were even looking, or because, you know, something will draw them out of the woods, so to speak, and you're like, or you'll go to something and you'll mention something and somebody goes like, oh yeah, I saw that on Facebook. And I was like, so they're watching. So be encouraged. Just because you're not always liking what you're saying or commenting what you're saying, keep talking.
Well, one thing I'd add to that, if they're not engaging anything that you're saying, change what you're saying or
well,
what
okay.
you're doing. I mean, if it's all these certain types of posts and you're never getting any response, try different things. I mean, try something different. You're going to find something that people are going to blow up. I mean, people are going to like everything you're doing. Talk about it a ton. And then you're going to post something that, like, crickets are chirping, you know? So find what works and do that regularly.
I'd like to just mention, we use live stream. So I know that nobody really wants their congregation to be at home watching you from at home. But inevitably,
yeah.
People have kids that are sick. Of course, we have people watching us.
All around.
We can see on our website, and we have people watching us live streaming from... I mean, like 4,000 people at a time.
Wow.
So live streaming gives you the ability that they can watch it on an Android, an iPhone. They can...
Who do you use? Do you know? Who do you use?
It's called live stream.
Oh, that's called live stream. Okay. Well, okay.
Is the website?
You can live stream on live stream.
And it also, you can have groups like they can comment, like not very long ago, I couldn't get home, so I was in another country. And I was watching and couldn't hear the volume, so I'm texting in, can't hear the volume. Someone else said, can't hear the volume. And in a minute, the media knew. They went and raised the volume. I mean,
people can send a prayer request.
Yes,
you know, that kind of stuff. It's great.
I mean, they can write. They'll write in things like, "Wow, I'm feeling the presence of God through my computer," mm-hmm. and it helps people keep connected
for sure
at all times, no matter where they are. If the husband's traveling that weekend, he can still stop on Sunday and, you know, watch it in the bathroom, but something.
One last thing I'll add to the social media part of this is when someone does comment or say something on your page, don't let it go days without responding to, because people are watching that, people are seeing, and that people become disconnected from your page.
At least like what they said, you know. If you don't want
show some type of interaction,
just acknowledge that they said it, you know, let them know you saw it, kind of give them a little bit of feedback. So are we done? Did you want
to speak to the live stream for a second?
Sure.
Since we've got the man himself here.
What do you use?
About what?
Live streaming.
Live streaming.
I use Christian World Media. They also have Christian Aid, which is set up out here.
Yeah. Church Aid.
Church's Aid.
I recommend everybody check that out.
We've had an amazing run with live streaming as well. It's incredible. The Lord's even given me some words to give to people that I felt like he was speaking to someone in Asia the other day. I stopped in the middle of a message, said what I needed to say, and found out afterwards they checked to see where people were listening from. for the very first time in, I think we'd been doing it at that time 4 or 5 months, for the very first time someone from Asia was tuning in while I said that. So it's awesome, you know, it's, things can happen, really neat things. It still gives me chills because I think it's so awesome.
And they see that one on a small device?
Yes, yes.
Because we were with another company, I don't remember the name, but you couldn't...
Yeah, you need to be careful that it'll do Android and Apple products. I watch it, I tune in on my iPhone, just I have it on the, sometimes I have it on the, at the podium, so I know they got it going right. OCD. Okay, anyway, I'm watching myself, and it's on a delay. It's like, well, I look weird, you know. I only did that one time, or I got in trouble for it, so I only did it one time.
Also, this guy sitting behind Brenna Hunter, he has a couple of television recording questions that they can record.
Yes.
Just after.
Yes.
All right, thanks, hey, guys, for your time.